This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
For years, we have watched. Unseen them accomplish wonders. But we have never interfered until now.
Eternals, the end of one era is the beginning of another.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And today we are excited to be the proud dissenters who are going to be reviewing Eternals.
I am so glad that I'm in a group of people where I feel safe, because after coming out of the theater, this movie has not been getting great reviews, right? And I was wondering what was wrong with me, because while there were problems and issues with the film, I actually kind of loved it. And then I spoke to you guys and found my center again. So I'm glad.
So I love this movie. I love everything about this movie. I love it in its like entirety. The thing I love most, though, is that it completely destroys the assumption that all MCU movies are the same, which is something that those sort of high and mighty directors like to say. I'm pointing like specifically at Denis Villeneuve when he came out promoting Dune and he said that they were factory manufactured movies. They're not. Aha, there you go. Eternals is not like any other MCU movie. It looks different. It's unique in like every single way. And it also functions completely in its own silo, which I love. So that's just like one of the things that I really like about this film.
I also loved it. I found it engaging off the bat. I went in with really low expectations, partly because of the reviews, but partly, and actually, which is why I would say, despite the fact that we're going to spend the next 20 minutes or so probably rambling about how much we love it, you should still go in with lowered expectations, because I think otherwise it's a very difficult film to wrap your head around anyway. I will say that I think the trailers deeply under or do not sell the film. I don't think that the trailers understood, or perhaps the marketing department understood, how to market the film. And that is why I'm going to now attempt to very poorly summarize it, because it's very difficult to summarize. Basically, a very long time ago, a group of individuals arrived on our planet in a ship. They are the Eternals. They are tasked with battling deviants, and they were sent here by the Celestials. None of that makes sense. It will, you know, they will tell you all of it in the first 30 seconds of the film in like a full-on Star Wars style scroll. And that sets up the film. But basically, you have people, or you have individuals, I have to keep calling them that, who can live forever having been sent here on a mission that they fulfilled, stuck here, wondering what the point is. And that's who you meet at the start of the film.
And I think just that gives you an idea of how different it is from all the other Marvel films, right? This isn't a movie about the joys of discovering your superpowers or the joys of being a hero where in a world where everyone else looks up to you for your abilities. This is actually a movie about the melancholy of living for thousands of years with powers that you don't know what to do with in a world that's not your own, in a society that doesn't know you exist. It's a lot of, I don't know, I think halfway through the film, I suddenly realized what exactly about this movie was so different from the other MCU films, in that it's not about joy. It's actually about sadness. And I don't know, it's something incredibly adult and profound and mature about the stories that this movie tells. I completely agree with you, Arvin, that this is a great example of how you don't have to stick by that playbook when it comes to Marvel. It may not always work, but it feels like the kind of exciting grand experiment that I'm so glad exists.
Also, the way Lynn summarized it, I think, is the movie's biggest strength and also its weakness, because it's literally trying to tell you 10 stories at the same time, five of which it really focuses on, and then the others are like sub-stories. But I think it's trying to do way too much with a very small window of time. Like, it's supposed to be this 3.5 hour, 4 hour sort of odyssey or epic, and then it's condensed into maybe 150-ish minutes. So I think it suffers slightly from that because there's way too much going on. This could have been 2 or 3 movies split up. But also the fact that they were able to build on so many characters in that short amount of time, and make you care for those characters so much by the end of the film, I think that's like, that's a hats off thing. Like, you know, whether it's the writing or directing or editing, the movie really gets you to latch on to a lot of, I would say easily 6 or 7 of them in the film, which I honestly enjoyed like so much.
So I think the time has come to talk about the prestige that is attached to the film, which I think has backfired in terms of the criticism. I think that that's actually part of the reason why critics are going so hard is because of the star power associated, not just on screen, but behind the camera, because it's directed by Chloe Zhao. And it is, I mean, the cast list is crazy. So it's Gemma Chan, Richard Madden, Kumail Nanjiani, Angelina Jolie, Don Lee. Like, it keeps going and going and going. It's a lot of people. It's Barry Keoghan playing creepy, but not as creepy as usual, which is nice.
Salma Hayek,
yes. And so it's just a lot of people. And I think that that's partly why the caring about the characters works. Part of it is that the themes and story are very adult. Yes, the universe and Earth and all that is at stake. Ultimately, that is a part of it. It is, after all, a Marvel film. But that's not really what it's about. It's about relationships breaking down and fracturing over centuries, over millennia. And I think that that's really the strength of the film. And watching the actors, all genuinely good actors, play that out in very subtle ways, actually, is a very enjoyable thing. I found the movie best when I forgot that it was a Marvel film.
Same. For me, it was a deeply fascinating character study. It also reminded me so much of adult friendships and relationships, how they change when you have a group of friends and you kind of have something holding you together. But over the years, you change and evolve and some people become different people. Some people don't get along anymore. Some you haven't seen for years and years. I don't know. There's something incredibly human about The Eternals and the way it tells its story. You can see Chloe Zhao stamp there. There are parts of the movie where it feels like the Marvel-ness, the MCU-ness of it gets away from her. I don't know whether there's a checklist of things you have to have, and those are the things that she was least invested in. But the things that are squarely in her sandbox, she does such a good job. And I think it adds so much to the way you think about characters. I mean, if you compare it to like the other ensemble films of superheroes, whether X-Men or even the Avengers, you realize how difficult it is to get you to care about that many people. Arvind, you said you easily cared about 6. I feel like even the ones that were not the sort of frontliners, I never found myself bored by them.
And also, it's amazing how, talking about the story, there's no easy way out of the plot. So it's not like an easy solution. Like throughout the film, every solution that they come up with is sort of like they bring up a conflict to that solution, or there's a way that they cannot get around it. So it's a very heavy plot. And there are no easy answers and there are no easy ways to go about this. And I love that a lot because you're dealing with stuff like celestials and the cosmos and reality, all sorts of like big subjects that needed big storylines to sort of support them. There is one specific storyline, we cannot spoil anything, but with Angelina Jolie, which I thought was handled like extremely well, because that I thought was one of the heaviest in the film. And they didn't cop out. They didn't cop out at all. They just went all in with it. And she just chewed scenery when she was on screen. Like, she is such a powerhouse.
She really is. I also very much love that story thread. I think that the thing is, right, Marvel films, all comic book films almost, except for like your Ant-Man's, try very hard to do the weighty thing. Because they... that's ultimately what's at stake. They keep referring to the blip, and we're all supposed to think the blip was so, so serious. And of course it was. I mean, half the universe disappeared. But we don't feel the weight of that. Not really. We have the little scenes in Endgame that are supposed to make us feel things, but we don't always feel it, partly because we know that there's a formula, partly because it's fine. In the third act, they'll all get back together. And then after that, it's just a matter of watching the jigsaw pieces fall into place and the problem gets solved. And that's enjoyable. I don't want to take away from the enjoyment of that. But like you were saying, Arvin, with Eternals, it's not like that. This is a kind of untenable problem that they're facing. And I think that, plus the sadness that you mentioned, Shyamala, is part of what makes this film, I think, if you were going in expecting a comic book film, it's part of what makes this film difficult or unenjoyable to watch. And I get that. But I liked feeling something. I've missed feeling in a Marvel movie, you know, aside from the things that they exclusively want me to feel.
I know exactly what you mean. And I think sometimes the discomfort or the thing that is difficult with the movie is that you didn't expect it. So when you say low expectations, often you mean you expect it to be terrible and bomb. So I want to maybe caveat that by saying, don't expect it to be anything. Don't expect it to be terrible, but don't expect it to be like another superhero movie either. And I think that's maybe the best frame to watch it in, because it took me a while to warm up to this film. For a while, I was like, what am I watching? Where's the story going? Who are these? Like, am I supposed to find this amusing or scary? Like, what is this? But after a while, I was like, oh, I see. Okay, this is not what you expect. I also wanted to say, I just loved how they handled diversity. It can feel very play by numbers. In this film, it's so organic, so well handled. I think this is a great example of how having a diverse cast can actually feed into how well you can tell the story.
I think this film is like maybe the MCU evolving tenfold. Like, it took a huge, massive leap. And maybe that's not sitting well with a lot of people because the tone is suddenly so different. But for me, I was happy with it. I'm like, if you're going to evolve, this is how you evolve. Like, it's a leap of faith, right? You see where it goes and then how it's going to be done in terms of like being progressive, in terms of like being inclusive, the diverse cast, the story, the themes, all of it, even the cinematography. I felt like if you're going to go big, then go big this way. And if, you know, if critics don't like it, I'm glad we are in a spot where critics want MCU movies to feel like MCU movies. If not, they're going to like review it badly. But this was a good leap of faith for me.
We're talking today about Eternals, which we all loved, even though the reviews, actually both from critics and from audiences, has been less than kind. Let us know, which side of the fence do you fall on? Did you like it? Did you not? Are you planning to watch it? WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
We need to find the others.
I haven't seen some of them for centuries.
Hi.
Hello.
If this is what the end of the world looks like, at least we have front row seats.
You know what's never saved the planet? Your sarcasm.
We have loved these people since the day we arrived. When you love something, you protect it.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Shyamala, and Arvin. And today we are reviewing Eternals. So we've covered the difficulty of covering the story without revealing anything. I wanted to talk about the cast. We spoke about the size, we spoke about the prestige, but I think that the performances are so heartfelt and human that they really provide the beating heart at the center of the movie. Because otherwise, the fact that they can live forever means that it really runs the risk of being quite bloodless, being quite heartless. You know, it just keeps going and going and you get to watch them adventure through time. And that's its own thing, but that's not this film. And a big part of that comes down to the strength of the performances.
I thought the cast did so well. We mentioned Angelina Jolie, and she has a great arc. She does so well. But truly, everyone gets at least a moment, and they shine in it. And the film is so great at having different pairings and different sort of little groupings of the different characters, so that you get to not just understand who each person is as an individual and the performance they put in, but also how that changes or how the dynamic changes when they're with different people. So a lot of the joy of this film is really watching people like Angelina Jolie and Kumail Nanjiani on the same screen, bouncing off each other, or like a Richard Madden and Gemma Chan, who are very different actors, having this centuries-long attachment and how that evolves. I don't know. There's something really fun about watching such a good cast taking on roles that really you don't expect to be this good.
The movie does this really beautiful thing of introducing you to the Eternals at the beginning, like maybe the first half, and then it's interspersed with a lot of like flashbacks and like, you know, a lot of stuff that happens in the past and all. And then it builds up on a new Eternals movie. Like the Eternals have to regroup and find themselves and become the Eternals again. And I thought that was like very clever because you get to build that chemistry. So when they say something like, we need to find Fastos, or we need to find Druig, you feel there's like a slight sense of goosebumps. You're like, oh, it's him again. Even though you would have just seen them in a flashback or in a scene maybe like half an hour ago. And I thought that was really brilliantly done. The sort of like deconstructing and constructing Eternals in the same film.
I loved how passive Gemma Chan's character is. So she plays Cersei, who is in some ways the driver of the movie. But I say that with reservations as well, because I think she's such an unusual main character for a comic book film. She is neither the hero who is Captain America-ing it and saying, let's all do this. Neither is she the reluctant having responsibility thrust upon her hero. None of those conversations that you usually associate with somebody assuming a mantle of power actually happens. Instead, you just have a character whose greatest strength is her empathy. And for a comic book movie, which lives and dies by the running, the chasing, the banging, the this and the that, having someone who's inherently quite passive in the heart, at the very center of the film, I think is an unusual choice. And she's played really interestingly, because again, if she wasn't played with care, I think that character could have gone so badly wrong.
I think the female characters in general in this film are fascinating. Of course, you have the whole empowered roles and so on and so forth. But I think just the way they speak to each other, the conversations they have, the scenes that are built to tell very unique and individual stories. Every woman in this film has a different journey. You could argue everyone does, but I think it's particularly interesting when all you get for so long in the MCU is, you know, Black Widow and nothing else. It's really great to see it evolve this way. I wanted to pick up on what you said, Arvind, with the whole going back and forth in time and use that to talk about just visually and in terms of how the story is told. The movie does such a good job. I love the way it brings to life all the civilizations of the past. I love the way it's shot. You know, such stark, vast scenes of different spaces around the world, mostly natural settings. It's so gorgeous to look at. Even the deviants, the monsters, they look so good. They're so beautifully realized on screen.
I'm going to steal this word from the friend who I watched the movie with. And he said he called the MCU movies plasticky, the way they look. And this movie did not look plasticky at all. I love the MCU films, but this is, I think, the most quality looking MCU movie ever made. Like the same things you mentioned, the vistas, the scenery, Chloe Zhao's just like eye for good scenic visuals, I think really popped out in this movie. And I think that if the Marvel movies are going to look like this moving forward, that would be like a major plus point. I'm not expecting it, but fingers crossed, and I hope that they follow in this template, at least visually and how they look.
Because it was a big deal that a lot more of the film was shot on location, and it really shows, because you get that real sense of the Earth that they're actually trying to save and of it being more than cities. Because a lot of the previous films have focused ultimately on, let's save New York. Oh no, it's gone. Let's move on. You know, and so having a movie that focused instead on the deserts, on the coasts, on the fields, on Sumeria, you know, in all these different settings, and you really feeling that, I think goes a long way, again, towards giving weight towards a film that could otherwise very easily slip into not having that.
Yeah, I think it's really that. Chloe Zhao is known for her visual storytelling as much as she is for being able to sort of tell these sensitive human stories. And I think that really comes through in Eternals, just using literally the earth as the color palette for her film, and just how these different characters navigate that space, because this is a story that's told not just through space, but through time. And so you really need to get a sense of the life they've lived, the thousands of years, and why they're so attached to Earth. I think that's really important and an important part of why we end up feeling so much for them.
So we can't have a show without mentioning this guy. Icarus is actually influenced or inspired by Zack Snyder's Man of Steel, Superman. Like Chloe Zhao herself said that that's where she got the inspiration from, which I thought was very interesting, because I was watching this movie thinking this is a DC movie if DC movies were good. This is what it would look like the storyline and how coherent it is. So that was one. I also love how clever it is in the sense that it exists completely in its own silo. In the fact that if it flops and if it doesn't do well, it doesn't affect anything in the MCU. They can just brush it off and pretend like it never happened, and it would have never happened. So that was another. They did the same thing with Guardians of the Galaxy, and I think they are testing waters with this as well. I hope that's not the case, but I thought it helped the movie in a big way.
I'm excited. I mean, this movie, or rather the recent run of films, has me excited for Phase 4 in a way that I didn't know that I would be. So that's been a nice thing to have. Dissenting opinions be damned, I say. Anyway, today we've been talking about Eternals. And if you do hold a dissenting opinion, we would love to hear from you. If you loved it, we would also love to hear from you. Let us know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, and write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.